Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, a lot of times when I'm looking at a passage of Scripture like this and we're looking for spiritual truth, which we will discuss tonight, it's also interesting to understand the doctrinal application of the passage. Now, what is going on here in this parable? What is the Lord trying to teach his disciples at this point in his earthly ministry and with this parable? One of the ways you can figure out where this parable, where the application of this parable fits doctrinally, is by the eighth verse when he says, when the Son of Man cometh. You see, when you hear that, you get a doctrinal place to put this passage of Scripture. When the Son of Man cometh. What is that? That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's something that he is teaching these disciples. And you'll recognize from Matthew chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 10, that when the Lord is teaching his disciples about their preaching of the gospel in their lifetimes, he is also instructing those who will be preaching the gospel before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So it's not uncommon for the Lord to be teaching them something that actually applies to, let's say, tribulation saints. All right, so here when he says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth, gives us some clue about what's going on. Well, what's going on here is that this widow wants to be avenged of her adversary, right? And the Lord says in verse 7, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? There's a group of people in the book of Revelation that fit verse 7 perfectly. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. In the opening of the seals, and verse 9, we find the opening of the fifth seal. And look what you find. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So during the tribulation, people who believe Lord Jesus Christ, that's their testimony, and are holding to the word of God, and they're not worshiping the Antichrist, they're not worshiping his image, they're not taking the mark, they are threatened with death if they don't recant. When they don't recant, they're killed. And here you see in verse 9, they're under the altar, that are slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge? And look at this, avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should as yet for a little season rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So they're under the altar and they are crying. with a loud voice. And they want to know when God is going to avenge their blood of martyrdom on those that caused their death. They're just like these Luke 18. See, because that's what's happening here. The Lord said, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Well, during that period of time in the tribulation where they're being slain like that and crying out for their blood to avenge, it is a long time. But then he says, "I tell you, he will avenge them speedily when he comes." That is a very speedy avenging, because he destroys the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming, and there are a lot of people that are taken out that have done this to the Jews when he comes. So you have a doctrinal application here to people that are going to be crying out this very thing. And you see them in Revelation chapter 6, don't you? Okay. So that's the doctrinal application. But the spiritual application, that is, what's going on in this passage of Scripture that helps us that are gathered in this room tonight, is also very, very important. Spiritually, this parable is a real help to us when we find it hard to keep praying for certain things and in certain circumstances. There are times when, like those souls that are under the altar, and they're like, "What are you going to, you know?" You pray, and it's like, "God, where are you?" Okay? And we're going to see some instruction specifically in this parable that should help us understand why, first of all, it's so hard to pray, and then what to do about it. First of all, it's really hard to pray when you expect God to answer. Look at verse 3 again. "There was a widow in that city." You see that? In verse 3, "There was a widow in that city." What is God's relationship to widows? Well, according to Psalm 68, verse 5, "A judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation." A widow, as far as we know about God's care for them, should not have to be in this situation. God takes care of widows. She shouldn't be faced with this type of mistreatment from an adversary. I mean, in this case, she is going before a judge to plead with him to be avenged of her adversary, and it's obvious by the outcome that she has a legitimate case. That this is not an adversary that's coming after her justly. This is an adversary that's coming after her unjustly. She shouldn't be in here. She's being disregarded by the judge. And so she finds herself in a terrible situation because she, in going to this judge, has the expectation, and rightly so, that she should make the request and be avenged. And she's not being avenged. Do you understand? So it's really hard to pray when you've gone to God with a prayer request and you don't get the answer when you go. And why should you expect God to answer you? Well, you should expect Him to answer you because you are His child. We expect God to hear our prayers. In Matthew, you know, the discussion comes up, well, if your son asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? He said, you know, "You being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask Him?" So there's an expectation when you're the child of God, you should be able to come boldly under the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, get His ear and get it done. That's what she expected when she went before the judge, and she didn't get that. And when you go before God Almighty with a prayer request and you don't get that prayer request answered when you think that you are that you have a good reason to expect God to answer, it's kind of, hey, what's going on here? That's not easy to keep praying. That can get to be pretty difficult. Because it's like God's letting you down. And what's going on here, right? You start searching your heart, and you're like, well, is it me? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You hear that, and you're like, I've got a good case. I have a legitimate cause. What's going on here? So it's really hard to pray when you expect God to answer. Secondly, it's really hard to pray when you suffer unjustly. I've already mentioned that word, but look again in verse 3. There was a widow in that city, so already being in that case, she has an expectation she should be able to get her case heard and solved. She didn't have anybody else to defend her. And she came unto him saying, watch it, avenge me of mine adversary. You know, you would expect God, or she should expect this judge immediately to recognize, wait a minute, she is being unjustly treated here. I'm going to pass judgment right now. But this is a judge who doesn't fear God and he doesn't respect men. So to him, it's like, I do not want to be bothered with this widow's case. I have more important things to deal with. Okay? Well, you and I would expect God to come to our aid and answer immediately in a case like this. If there's an injustice against you as a child of God, and you know it is biblically, you and I have every reason to expect, not only because we are his children, she was a widow, but because it's an injustice, that God's going to step in. But the trouble is, your adversary isn't going away. The trouble is, the problem is not, it's not going to resolve on its own. And you know it's not going to resolve on its own, and you know you need God's intervention, and you think the God of all justice should deliver you without ever having to ask. I mean, think of course, what I'm going to describe to you all takes place in a night and a day, so that's pretty fast considering what we're learning here. But remember when Paul and Silas were directed by the Lord to go to Macedonia? Paul had seen the vision of the man, come help us. They go there, they get to Philippi, they meet Lydia, she houses them, she gets saved. There's a damsel that's got a evil spirit. He casts the evil spirit out of her. Well, she happened to be a soothsayer, and now the men that owned her are no longer getting any money off of her soothsaying, her fortune-telling or whatever. So now they accuse Paul and Silas unjustly. They're beaten unjustly. They were beaten by the magistrates, and absolutely everything, the lie told by the merchants, the beating by the magistrates, and the imprisonment, all of it unjust. And they get thrown in jail, in the prison, fast in the stocks. It's midnight. And what are they doing? They're praying and praising God. And nothing that they are experiencing is just. It's all a miscarriage of justice. It's all wrong. We shouldn't even be here. And yet they're praying. Which says something to us about prayer. There are times when you have, as a child of God, your bold entrance, and in the circumstances, everything is your way, and all the other situations about which you're praying are unjust, and God's not answering. That's hard to keep praying. It's hard not to get really bitter about right then. But then there's one more thing. There's one more thing. You expect God to answer because you're his child. You suffer unjustly because it is injustice. It's an adversary. Look in verse 4. He would not for a while. It's really hard to keep praying when God delays his response. Yeah, you already know as a child you've made your bold entrance. You already know you've presented a good, solid prayer request that God should, for all intents and purposes, answer on your behalf, and He ain't doing nothing. He didn't for a while. Man, that's hard to keep praying. You know, when you refer back to the passage that we saw in Revelation chapter 6, I want you to go there not just to see the doctrine, but there's a question that those martyrs, those saints that are under the altar are asking. You know what they're asking? How long, O Lord? How long? And you know, when you've been praying for a while and God has not been answering in all that while, it gets really hard because it's like, how much longer, Lord? How much longer? It's hard to keep praying day in and day out, in the day and in the night. That's what the Lord described here when He talks about this judge finally coming to make this decision. And God makes the application, the Lord makes the application, He says about His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him. Listen, day and night and day in and day out, week after week. It's hard to keep praying when it appears that God isn't answering. I mean, you want to take matters into your own hands. You want to get frustrated about the circumstances. You want to go talk to other people and explain that the situation you're in is not right. Why didn't God do anything about this? You talk it over with your family. You get on your knees. You know what happens? You get frustrated with God. And some people quit because He's letting things go on. And this parable for us spiritually is we cannot faint. Can't faint. Can't faint when, though you're His child, He's not seeming to regard that at the moment. And though it's unjust, He's not seeming to regard that at the moment. And though you've been talking it over with Him for a long time, He doesn't seem to be in a hurry. It's kind of like, I don't know what's going on here. You don't have to know what's going on here. You want to know. But you don't have to know. You may or may never understand. Prayers have tentacles. A lot of people are affected by how God is going to answer your prayer. Sometimes He may be putting you through that to toughen you up a little bit for the next thing that's coming. Sometimes other circumstances have to be arranged and ordered so that when He answers your prayer, all these other good things are happening at the same time. I don't know what it's all about. Most of the time you don't. But you know what He said? He said, don't quit. That's what He said. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's verse 1. That's the lesson. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't faint. Keep coming. You know what He said? He said in verse 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by, hear the next two words, continual coming, she weary me. Keep come, the Lord. You know what the Lord's saying? Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Don't stop praying. Don't stop. That's what He said. Keep coming. When the Lord does show up to answer the request, the Bible says He will avenge them speedily. And I can remember when the disciples were in that boat. The 5,000 had been fed. The Lord told them to go to the other side. They get in the boat. They go to the other side. He stays in the mountain to pray. They're toiling all that night into the fourth watch, rowing. Then He comes. When you read the companion passages in the Gospels, the comparative passages, when you look at all of them, in that occasion, when the Lord gets in the boat in the fourth watch of the night, the Bible says, I believe it's in John, immediately they were on the other shore. So you're gonna keep after it, keep after it. You're like, God's never going to do anything. He said, don't worry about why the delay. You are my child. This is a widow. It is unjust. I recognize that. And I will come around. And when I do, I'll take care of it quick. So, or as they say, when he shows up with the answer, he gets it done. You know, come on, Lord, get her done. Well, I'll be there. But just don't quit praying. You know, it's a real encouragement to us when we see this, because I don't know what kind of request you might have that's been seemingly ignored by the Lord, what kind of circumstance you're in. Being in the ministry these many years, I've seen circumstances like this, and I think to myself, man, these are exactly the way I saw it when it happened, and exactly the way God did it when he fixed it. Don't stop. Keep coming. Don't faint. Don't faint. Keep praying. Because God is listening. And he does know. And he'll take care of it. Amen. Father, we're very thankful tonight to be able to study in the words of God. We've seen something here. I pray that you'll use this passage of Scripture that we've learned to help us. Some right now. And others of us, Father, we need to put this one in the bank and remember to withdraw it when the time comes, because you've instructed us in the Scripture. Help us, dear Lord. Be faithful to remember these words and live by them for Jesus' sake. Amen.